welcome to the New Beginnings message of the week. We hope you enjoy this message from our Sunday service. For more information about our church, please visit us online at newbeginningscos.com.
I love how God does this. I probably had three or four different messages that I've been kind of writing and just listening and processing with the Lord over the last several weeks. And then yesterday he's like, nope, I want to talk about this. And so, but what's cool is, and you'll kind of hear as I go today, almost all of what I want to talk about today has been hit on at different points this morning already. So part of what Brittany shared and Catherine, and so I love how he does that. I love how Holy Spirit has a theme. He has something that is on his heart, and the people who are in tune with him just pull that out. And so all of a sudden, like, I can't tell you how many times I'll teach on Sunday, and then later on during the week, I find out from friends that three or four other churches in our city taught about that exact same thing. And I love that. Like, what a confirmation. Like, we love that the body of Christ is not just here in this room, right? But that the Lord is speaking to his body all over. And we bless the churches all over. And just how exciting it is that we get to be in the flow with him. So I'm excited about this morning. I've been hanging a lot lately in 1 John. And so we're going to start out in 1 John. And really, I'm almost exclusively going to be reading from that today. But I love that we've got 1 John, we've got really four books from John, who was the disciple, by his own words, that Jesus loved. The one who identified himself by his identity in the eyes of Jesus, the Messiah, who leaned up against Jesus. Can you imagine, like, we're talking about, when we talk about the culture of Jewish people, like, it's not just this, like, lovey-dovey, peaceful culture. Like, there's a long history of war and of, like, they're a very intense culture. And yet you've got John writing, and about himself, he's writing, he's leaned up against Jesus' breast. And the vulnerability of saying, like, there's something about just being with him. And how he starts 1 John is so beautiful. I'm reading from the Passion Translation, but he says, this got me when I was reading it the other day. It says, we saw him with our very own eyes. We gazed upon him and heard him speak. Our hands actually touched him, the one who was from the beginning, the living expression of God. This is 1 John 1:1. The living expression of God. He's saying our hands actually touched him. Can you imagine the recognition? What's interesting is as time goes by for John, I think he actually realizes to an even greater and greater degree how immensely momentous it was that he got to see, to hear, to touch the living expression of God. I think, I would imagine that shortly after Jesus' resurrection, your head would still be reeling. Like, it would still be hard to process it all. But the further away you get from that moment with encounters with the Holy Spirit, that his presence is still there, even though he's not physically there, and you're realizing, can you imagine John realizing, I saw him. I touched him. And he's writing to these churches saying, I want you to understand, we're not just telling somebody else's story. My hands touched the God of the ages. And so when I'm telling you about who he is, it's so important that you understand how real this is. Verse 3 in chapter 1 says, so we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard about this life giver, so that we may share and enjoy this life together. For truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus the Anointed One. So today I really want to talk about fellowship with Jesus. Our fellowship, he says, is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus, the Anointed One. And it's interesting to me that he calls him the Anointed One, right? We even sang this morning, Holy and Anointed One. This is where that comes from. So I was like, perfect song to sing with my message today. Anointing, I'm going to come back to that, but I want us to keep in mind that when he talks about Jesus, he refers to him as the Anointed One. When we get into the Word, when we get into Scripture, the Word brings us into the presence of God. Jesus himself said, you search the Scriptures thinking that that's life, but it's supposed to lead you to me. You're unwilling to come to me. When we read Scripture is one of the most important things that God's given us. We have to have a high value for the Bible because it's one of the ways that as we read and as we absorb, we get to encounter the words of God. It is the word of God. We get to encounter what he's saying and what he's communicating, but ultimately the design of it is to lead us into connection directly with him. If my only connection is with the word of God, and I don't actually allow the word of God to become living and active, to lead me to the living and active God, then I'm actually missing the point. So, but we have to be in the word. I can't tell you how much just reading a couple of these verses, and I sit there and I'm able to just get into this place of not just understanding what the verse says, but connecting with the Lord is what he's saying about it right now. What I love is John got to touch God. He got to be with Jesus, to hear him, to see him. But then we have Paul. I mean, we have Paul who didn't get that experience. So for Paul, his experience with the Lord was a bright light shining from the sky that knocked him off his donkey and knocked him blind. Like, that was a whole different kind of realm of experience. He didn't see Jesus, the man on the earth, touching and healing people. He got knocked off his donkey by the glory of God. And his encounter with the Lord and how he experiences God is totally different. In some ways, Paul is the first fruits of people that have to have encounters with Jesus through the Holy Spirit. So John got to experience Jesus directly, physically. We, like Paul, we get to experience Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And so when we look at what John is teaching and how we actually engage with the Lord and how we actually have fellowship with him, we have to understand that it's through the Holy Spirit, but we can still have that kind of same direct connection that John's talking about. John's not going over here bragging and saying, hey, guess what I got to experience and you don't get to experience. He's actually saying, I want you to understand how real and how tangible he is. And then I want you to understand that your fellowship, our fellowship, is with God. Fellowship means communion. So here he's saying, look, I touched Jesus. And then he's saying, but we have communion, which is connection, which is direct personal intimacy with God and with his son, Jesus, the anointed one. Through the Holy Spirit is the key. 1 John 2:27 says, but the wonderful anointing you have received from God is so much greater than their deception. Let me give you a quick context here. So John is writing to this church where there's been these teachers that are kind of leading the church into deception. And so the teachers kind of keep coming in and sharing stuff that's unbiblical. But the church is like, hey, we just want to learn whatever we can learn. So they keep going back to these teachers and they're kind of absorbing what they're saying. And John's like, nah, this isn't it. So John's saying, look, they're deceiving you. And this is what he says about it. He says, the wonderful anointing you've received from God is so much greater than their deception, and it now lives in you. There's no need for anyone to keep teaching you. His anointing teaches you all that you need to know, for it will lead you into truth, not a counterfeit. So just as the anointing has taught you, remain in him. So what John's saying to them is not that nobody should ever teach you ever. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is you keep going to these guys thinking they've got the inside track. They've got the inside information. And he's like, they are deceiving you. And he's like, the Holy Spirit is in you. He will teach you, and actually he'll confirm to you what's truth and what's not. Don't just go looking to man for the ideas and the insight that you need. We all need to have a personal fellowship with Jesus. And that's what he's saying. And so he actually says, Jesus is the anointed one, but he says it's the anointing of God in us that helps us to encounter him in a personal way. When we talk about anointing, I think sometimes this word gets confusing. We've got some groups that are like, we need to talk about anointing all the time, and everything's anointing, and like, there's nothing wrong. I lean more that direction. But then we have other groups that are like, you know, what does that even mean? Why are we talking about anointing? What does it even, oils? And, you know, there's something about the reason that Paul uses this terminology. And I think we have to understand that anointing is when they would actually take oil, and when they would anoint a king, they would pour it over their head. And there's a verse in Psalms that talks about how beautiful it is. Oil, it's like oil dripping down the beard. He's talking about when brothers live together in fellowship and in unity. And then there's something about this idea of the oil dripping down. It's thick. It's tangible. It's sticky. You can't really get it off you, but you don't really want to. Because when we're talking about this, we're talking about the oil of the presence of God. We're talking about the oil of the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. And what John is saying here, he's not saying, look, this special group over here has the oil, so you need to go to them. No, he's actually saying, look, you have the oil of the presence of God over you. You have the presence of the Holy Spirit. And because he has anointed you, Jesus the Anointed One has also anointed you, you get to fellowship with him and commune with him and hear from him. You don't need to always look to someone else to be the one to lead you into connection. You can have connection on your own. It's actually what we've heard in some areas of the church. It's like, well, if you want a connection with God, you got to go through me. Like, I'm the priest, or I'm the, you know, there's a barrier in between. What John is saying is there's no barrier. You don't have to be somebody special to walk in the anointing. It's something that God puts inside of you when you come to him, when we know him, when we're in faith. I think one of the things that we find, and I've found in my life, and I'm sure many of you have as well, is we come to the Lord, and I think sometimes we come in this place of need, in this place of desperation, and we go, Lord, I'm empty, and I need to be filled. And I don't want to disparage that, because I think there are times that we come before him, and we're like, Lord, I'm empty, and I need to be filled, and that's legitimate. However, I think what ends up happening is sometimes we keep doing that over and over. And every time we come to him, we go, Lord, I'm empty, I need to be filled. Lord, I'm empty, I need to be filled. And I think sometimes the Lord is actually saying, this almost feels more like a hopeless desperation than actually a walk of faith. Because we have the anointing of Jesus. We have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So if I constantly am coming to him going, God, I'm empty, I'm empty, I'm empty, I think there's a point where the Lord goes, you're actually not. You're actually not. Like, maybe you feel that way right now, but there's a deeper truth that you need to understand. Listen, I've told this story before, but when I got the gift of tongues, I prayed for tongues since I was 16 years old. I was like, I want the gift of tongues. I was like, well, Paul said we should eagerly desire it, especially tongues and prophecy. So I was like, when he said I speak in tongues more than any of you, I was like, all right, I want to have you beat. Like, I got that competitive spirit. I was like, I want to speak in tongues. So I prayed for that for years. And every time I went up to get prayed for, to get the gift of tongues, at every meeting, every conference, every single person, bar none, would say, because I did it a lot, would say, they'd start praying and they go, you've already got it. And I was like, what do you mean? I'm sitting here, I'm empty, I need it. And they're like, you've already got it. So for me, tongues actually started when I began driving in my car going, I don't care if I look like an idiot to the people around me, I'm going to try. And I tried. I wanted God to grab my lips spiritually and blah, blah, blah. Like, I wanted him to, like, just manipulate my mouth. And it just, like, listen, some people I know, it came out spontaneously. And I love that. And I bless that. For me, it didn't happen that way. For me, everybody was like, you've already got it. And I just had to try. And for me, the confirmation of it, and I've talked about this before too, it was confirmed to me. I was like, because God, I don't know if this is real tongues or not. All I know is I'm trying. And I don't think you hate me for trying. I actually think you're okay with that. And later on, me and Catherine, when we weren't even engaged yet. We were just kind of beginning our relationship. And so we took 30 days of speaking in tongues for 30 minutes. And I would go to the World Prayer Center, and I would pace, and I would speak in tongues for 30 minutes. And after day about 20 or so, as I was pacing and doing this, because the first 20 days was just nothing happening. Listen, I think it's important that you know, I didn't feel something wild and supernatural. I was just walking and praying in tongues out of obedience. It's what we felt like the Lord asked us to do. Around day 20, as I was doing that, I started to get pictures in my mind. I started to see our kids. I started to see arguments that we were going to have. I started to see financial struggles. I started to see massive questions and pain points that we were going to go through. And as I'm praying, I'm like, I think God is showing me what I'm praying for. And now on the other side of 16 years of marriage, I can tell you that's exactly what he did. Because what he showed me back then, every single one of those things has come to pass. And yet, I was able to pray for those moments before I even knew they were coming. How cool is that? But I also need you to know, this wasn't like, whew, I feel fire, I feel energy. And like, listen, we like all the big stuff. I don't know about you, I love the big stuff. I love the electricity in my fingers. And like, listen, that stuff is real and it's good and it's amazing. But we don't always get the big fire and the big sensation and the big feeling. And if we measure our fellowship with Jesus based on what we're feeling, we're going to miss what's already there. When I pursue fellowship with Jesus, I don't stop at my mind and I don't stop at my feelings. In the same way that we use the Word of God to press through into His presence, I actually press through my emotions into His presence. I actually press through my mind into His presence. So when I read the Word, I don't just read the Word and stop and think about it and stop there. I don't just read the Word and go, oh, that makes me feel really good, and stop there. I actually press through that into the place of His presence, into the place of Spirit, where my mind and my emotions get to take the backseat role to what's happening in the Spirit. And the Spirit goes so much further than what you're feeling. It's so important. Listen, when I focus on what I'm not feeling, because I don't always feel things in the place of prayer. When I focus on what I'm not feeling, I'm empowering doubt. Focusing on what we lack. Just like Brittany shared a little bit earlier, focusing on what we lack actually kills our gratitude and it hinders our ability to experience what's right in front of us. If I focus on Him, regardless of what I'm feeling, that's walking in faith. Because it's not about what I'm feeling. He asks us to take the step, to take the step of coming into His presence and believing that He's there, believing that the anointing of the Holy Spirit is on me, believing that I have the ability to hear and encounter Him. And pressing through into the realm of the Spirit does not always change what you feel. Pressing through the Word into the place of the Spirit does not always change what you are thinking. But what it means is it says, whatever I'm thinking and whatever I'm feeling in this moment, I'm putting to the side to go, Lord, I believe you're here, and I believe that I can bless you. Listen, did you know the realm of belief is actually separate from feeling and thinking? That's where we access our spirit. The realm of accessing your spirit comes through the realm of belief. It comes through the realm of faith. And in faith, we get to go, God, what I'm experiencing right now with you may not make me feel different in this moment, but it's going to change me, because anytime I'm with you, I'm changed. It's okay, we all awake so far? We need to maintain our hunger and our desire to feel His presence. I think it's vital that we want to experience Him and we want to feel Him, but we also need to stop measuring our success by our feelings. There are things God said to me this week that have totally left me scratching my head. There's times in His presence where the Lord has downloaded things and said things, and I'm like, I don't see how that's going to happen. And I think how we respond to those moments of I don't see how that's going to happen impacts the actual results that we see in our lives. When I hear God say something and I don't understand it, and I don't feel it, and I can't see it, and it doesn't make sense to me, my response is to go, I don't see how that's going to happen. I'm pretty honest with God about it. But I'm going to believe you with my actions. It's not a passive belief. I'm actually going to believe you by stepping out into what you just said, even if it sounds weird, even if it sounds crazy. Catherine will tell you, like, on human level, we've done some stuff that looks pretty weird and looks pretty crazy, and He's never let us down. I'm not going to share specifics, but I will say just yesterday there was a massive breakthrough that was a direct answer, confirmation to prayer, and revelation that the steps we've been taking are exactly the ones that He's wanted us to. But we have to believe that He's going to do what He says He's going to do. We have to believe that when we come into the place of prayer, we get to engage with His presence. when you believe something's going to happen, it changes the result. But I think sometimes we've experienced pain, we've experienced disappointment, and so we have trouble with that. When I was a little kid, I think I must have been maybe 10 years old, I remember my uncle came over to our house, and he was doing laundry, and he said, "Hey, you know, when I'm done, I'm going to take you guys out to the movies." So I'm like flipping out. I'm like, "That sounds amazing. I love, you know, like I've always loved movies. You guys know that about me." And I remember like he left and I saw him leave carrying his laundry. I was like, "When are you coming back?" And I was like bugging him and he's like, "I don't know, it'll happen." And so he left and I don't know if my parents remember this, but I hounded them about every 20 or 30 minutes. I was like, "When's he going to come? When's he going to come?" I sat by the window like waiting to see him drive back and he never did. Something happened, something came up, he got busy, I don't know. But I remember that being a moment for me where I was like, he told me something was going to happen. And I believed in it so much that the whole rest of my day was oriented around that happening. And then the disappointment and the discouragement of that not happening. And I believe all of us at one point in time or another have experienced that kind of disappointment. And then we put that on the Lord. And so when he says, "You have the anointing, you can come into fellowship with me, you can come into my presence," and we're like, "But God, I'm not feeling it. I feel like I'm looking out the window and you're not there. I feel like you said you were going to show up because I'm here and I'm praying and you're not here." And because of that, we start focusing on our lack and we don't recognize his presence when it's right in front of us. Because his presence isn't always about what we feel. Listen, for every moment of powerful encounter I've had, and I've had many, even this week, for every moment of powerful encounter I have had 40 that felt like nothing. But the impact of those 40 empowered me to be able to receive the one. Going through the 40 with a heart of gratitude, with a heart that focuses on God, I'm not going to thank you for what you do. I'm going to thank you for what I know you've already done. And by being in that posture of gratitude, by being in that posture of, I'm not going to reward you for rewarding me. Like, I'm not going to put us in this weird cycle. God, you've already done it. I get your presence. I get Jesus. It's done. Like, I don't need to get, like, yeah, can we be filled with more? Can we experience more? Of course. But instead of coming, I don't go, "God, I'm so empty. I have nothing. I need you." Because guess what? When we do that day after day after day, here's the thing. I actually believe that the Lord goes, "Look, if I give it to you right now, you're going to think that you got it because you came whining. And you're going to come to me like an orphan every time." And I think the Lord says, "I don't want a family of orphans. I want a family of sons and daughters that come into my presence and go, I'm here, God, and I know you love that I'm here. And whether or not I can feel the love that you have that I'm here, I know that you love that I'm here." And then I get to come with gratitude. And I don't get his presence because I've earned it by my desperation. I actually get it just as the natural outflow of connecting with him. I don't blame him for what I'm feeling or not feeling. I just come and I just go, "God, you're good. And I love being with you." And that 40 times of just coming like that and gratefully saying, "I love you, I love being with you, I love being in your presence." And then he drops his words in my spirit and he drops connection with him and I get to encounter him and I get to feel him because I'm not coming like an orphan. It's not that God doesn't want to respond to your desperation. It's that he doesn't want you to think that he's only going to come when you beg. That doesn't build health in our connection with him. I think one response to that faith thing, to that belief, says, "I don't know, I don't see how it's going to happen." You know, the Lord has been constantly challenging me in the places of faith and my connection with him and faith in what he's calling us to do. And I think we can say, "I don't see how that's going to happen." And I hear some people say, "I don't see how that's going to happen. I'd like to see you try. I'll believe it when I see it." And I think the alternative way to go is to say, "I don't see how that's going to happen, but thank you. I can't wait." You hear the promise. This is coming. You're going to go to the movies. You're going to get this gift under the Christmas tree at Christmas. And a heart of faith goes, "I'm already opening that gift in my mind. I know it's there because I know you don't lie. You're not a man that you should lie. And so I'm going to believe it. I think the other thing about fellowship with Jesus is we usually think about fellowship with Jesus and we think of time in prayer and time in a quiet place and kind of off to the side and in a nook and in a place of peace and rest and safety. And what I think we need to understand is that when Jesus calls us into fellowship with him, more often than not, there's danger involved. He's actually an exciting, adventurous God. He's not this calm, like, you know, and we make the mistake of thinking the only way that I can encounter him and the only place that I can encounter him is in the place of complete peace and solitude. Now listen, I don't want to diminish that because that's been a massive point in my life where allowing myself to be in the place of peace and solitude is where I meet with him initially. But then you know what? He goes, this was good. And he gets up and he goes, now let's go. Let's go do something bigger. Let's do something more adventurous. He gets on the water and he's walking and he says, come and join me. You have a steady job and he says, I want you to quit your job and go start a business. Or you have a successful business and he says, I want you to sell it and go serve the poor. Can't tell you how many stories of impactful men and women who have had massive success, massive amounts of money, who have walked away to do what God has called them to do. And when we have that fellowship with Jesus, it's not just about staying in the place of safety. Actually, the whole point of the place of safety is so that we feel safe going dangerous places with him. The whole point of the place of safety and fellowship with Jesus is so when he says, it's time to go jump off a cliff, we go, which one? Sometimes it's scary. On Wednesday, I got to do a pastor's lunch with the mayor of our city, Yemi Mobolade. Wonderful man, loves Jesus. And he shared a lot of his heart for our city. And his heart for our city is... has a lot to do with connection, has a lot to do with people feeling like they're invited into families. One of the big things that he wants to do, and it's not just roads and infrastructure and like, listen, all that stuff is important, but I loved how he expressed one of the biggest things that he wants to do is to get 1,000 block parties. He wants to get 1,000 people in neighborhoods that say, I want to meet my neighbors. I want to love the people around me. And you want to know why that is? That's because when he came to Colorado Springs, he came as a church planner. He was a pastor. And so that's what they did. They did block parties, and it started to blow up. And people started to feel invited and welcomed. And people started to share their faith. Not just their faith, but their problems. And people would go, hey, I know you believe in God. We're having, like, spiritual demonic stuff in our home. Would you come pray for us? And breakthrough started to happen because the stuff that was hidden came into the light in the context of people around the fire together. And so that's what he wants to do in our city. One of the pastors said to him, what can we do? How can we bless you? How can we pray for you? He specifically said, how can we pray for you? And Yemi started to tear up. And he got super choked up and he said, guys, this job is hard. This job, there's pieces of it that really suck sometimes. And he said, within a couple weeks of getting the announcement, we have the police do data mining, and they look for, you know, potential threats and trouble. And he said, within a couple weeks, they came to us and they said, we need to increase your security for you and your family. And so we all got to gather around him and pray for him and bless him. But this isn't just me promoting him or anything like that, but I just want us to understand, like, he came here as an immigrant. He came here as somebody who wasn't a native of our country. And yet he came to bless and be blessed by the people of God. And now that's what we get to see happening in our city. Can you imagine the fear? He didn't come to be a politician. He never thought that was going to happen. But the Lord said, this is the next step. In the same way, when we're in that place of fellowship with Jesus, what if he says something wild and crazy like that? What if he says the next step is not going to be the direction that you thought it was going to be? That is so frequently what I found in my life. And yet I know if we hadn't taken those steps, the Lord would not have blessed us the way that we've been blessed. I can keep going on that for a long time. Friendship with Jesus is the only adventure. And we don't invite him into our world. We enter into his. Anytime we're inviting Jesus into our world, what we're saying is, God, I've got the plan. I know what I'm doing. My calendar is set. I know my schedule. Will you bless this, God? And what would happen if we said, Lord, I know I have your presence. I know I have your love, your affection. I get to walk with Holy Spirit. And so I am voluntarily saying everything else I'm empty of. My calendar is empty. My bank account is empty. Everything belongs to you. It's all yours. What do you want to do? What do we get to do today? Oh, guys, there's so much I want to get into. I think the last thing I want to say is that we need to recognize that when we encounter him and when we connect with him, it's different for each person. We can't compare my experience of his presence with someone else's. I've told you guys before, I've seen like amazing men and women, very, very close personal friends, get touched and immediately fall over in the spirit. Like, they're down for the count. I haven't had that happen to me. Am I envious of that? I don't really know. Would I be okay with that? Yeah, absolutely. But I'm not pursuing that. I'm pursuing him, however he wants to give himself to me. However he wants to give him, I won't limit him and say it has to look like this. Because here's the thing, I hear his voice in a very deep personal way that some of them don't. And we've had conversations about this. We're like, well, they experienced God in some of these areas, and I experience him in some of these areas, and it's different. And it's not better or worse. I've actually seen some of them take leaps of faith without having the assurance of a direct, like, word-for-word word of the Lord that blows me away, the faith that they walk in and the way that the Lord has honored that and blessed that. And I've seen times where I've had the same, where it's like, maybe I haven't had this wild, crazy experience, but I don't think anymore that means that I'm less loved. And I used to think that. We have to know that we have the anointing of Holy Spirit, that we have fellowship with Jesus, that when I come to him, my fellowship with Jesus doesn't need to look exactly the same as anyone else's. I don't treat my kids all the same. I try to treat them all with equity, but I don't treat them like the same because they're not. They're not the same. What makes one feel loved would make another one feel totally pulled out of their safety zone. It would not be fun. What is a good consequence for one, for another would be, this is a party. If I told my daughter she needed to wash all the floors as a consequence for something, she would be really upset and frustrated. She would hate that. I tell my son, and 5 minutes later, he is sliding across soaking wet floors on towels and slamming into the fridge and going, this is great, and going in circles just on his knees. Like, that was a bad consequence. The Lord recognizes that we are different, and how he meets us is different. So what I constantly do is I come to him and go, God, it's not about what I need to feel right now. I just want my heart engaged with you. And my heart engaged with you may not manifest in something feeling different right now, but it will definitely manifest differently in my ability to walk out life with you. Because I may not feel anything right now, but in the next hour or 2 hours or 4 hours or 20 hours, how I'm able to respond to what comes is directly impacted by the fellowship I've had with you. It changes everything. And so I'm grateful for every unseen change that he's made in me. 1 John 3:2 says this. It says, beloved, we are God's children right now. Not we will be. We are his children right now. However, it is not yet apparent what we will become. In other words, we're his children, but he's changing us into something great, and we don't even know what the full outcome is going to be. And he says, but we do know that when it is finally made visible, we will be just like him, for we will see him as he truly is. in fellowship with him, we begin to see him as he truly is. And as we begin to see him as he truly is, we become like him. And it says this last thing in the verse. It says, and all who focus their hope on him will always be purifying themselves just as Jesus is pure. We focus our hope on him. We don't focus on what I'm feeling. We don't focus on discouragement of the past. We focus on the hope that just by me being here, Lord, with you and taking that time, you're changing me, you're purifying me, and I'm learning how to see you more clearly. So as we go out this week, I just want to bless us with the faith, with the knowledge that we are all sons and daughters and encounterers of Jesus, that we walk in the anointing of Jesus, that we walk with the Holy Spirit with us. We don't need to come and beg and go, God, I'm empty, I'm empty, I'm empty. We actually get to go and go, God, thank you that you are with me, that you are in me. When we acknowledge what is actual about what he's given us, we're actually able to use it. Last thing I'm going to say, there's times, I guess the best example is I make my kids dinner and I put the plate on the counter and I'll say to my kid four times, hey, your dinner's right here. And I'm pointing to it, your dinner's right here. And their eyes are just looking all around. And I go to doing what I'm doing, and then 15 minutes later, 20 minutes later, they come up to me, Dad, where's dinner? I'm hungry. I don't have anything. I'm empty. Can you see it? And the Lord's going, dinner's right there. It's right here. It's right here. Will you believe it? Because when we focus on our lack, we won't see it. But he's providing every moment, every day, because he loves his kids. He is a good dad. So right now, Jesus, we just look to you. And we thank you that we get to fellowship with you. Oh God, it's so beautiful to be in your presence, to be on the adventure with you, to go to places, God, we never thought we would go, because we trust that you're with us. Father, I ask for a new level of faith in this room, that it's not based on what we're feeling. It's not based on what we're thinking. It's not based on what we've seen in the past, but a faith that says, God, if you're walking on the water, I can walk on the water. And if you've already done that, what's the next crazy thing you want to do? Because I want to go there with you. Jesus, we love you. And I just ask, Father, I do ask for encounters in the place of feelings, in the place of mind with your Holy Spirit, that people would have, God, those moments where you fill their house and they can't help but know you're all around them. But Father, I also pray for a strong faith that says, I'm not going to only pursue you because of what I could feel, but I'm going to pursue you because I know the benefits of fellowship with Jesus are incredible, and I want to become more like him, whether or not I feel like that's happening. Jesus, I bless everyone in this room and their walk with you, and I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would, in the ways that you do for them, guide them into the deeper places of you. Open their eyes to see you more clearly and to become more like you. And Father, would you equip us to be a body that more and more loves and impacts the world and the city around us. So we thank you, God, in Jesus' name.